time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah, it is.
Yes,
we back in your ear, crystal clear. What's good, man?
Man, life is good, man. You know what I'm saying? Out here, braving new environments, doing new things, you know what I'm saying? Just got out that cold in New York City. Glad to be back in the balmy Atlanta at balmy 50-something degrees today.
Mm.
So, shit, yeah. I'm cool.
That's what's up. That's what's up. I was just out in Denver. I was ready for it to be cold as hell. It was warmer than in Denver than it was in New York.
Oh,
surprisingly.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess due to the elevation or the altitude or whatever, they're like closer to the sun. This is what somebody explained to me, because it was bright as shit. Like when I first got there, I went to a rooftop situation, not outside, but like this little rooftop.
Niggas be rooftop with the fur, with the chinchilla.
You right, right? Looking like Telluride. Nah, I was actually waiting for my hotel room to be available, so I had to go kill some time. So I did some high level loitering at a rooftop taco spot, and I'm sitting by the window, and that sun was coming through. That sun was like beating down on them. At some point, I had to change my seat. Like, the shit got real out there. That's what prompted the conversation about them being so close to the sun, that even though it could get cold and there's all of this snow, that they don't really have, per this person, I don't know, she worked at the taco spot. She ain't no, you know. But she was like, there's not as much, you know, no disrespect to her, but, you know, she spoke with conviction. You know what I mean? I didn't cross-reference the shit, but she was like, you know, due to the fact that it's so sunny out here that the seasonal affective disorder isn't as crazy as one would think.
No, know? I could dig that.
Yeah. She was from Florida, as a matter of fact, from Orlando. Oh, yeah.
She was black or white.
White girl named Amina. Right? Kind of threw me. I had to ask her to repeat herself. Maybe.
Middle East?
Now, I didn't know that. That's a Lebanese name.
That's like
or
a Muslim name.
Right.
So she could be like from the Middle East. I only yelled out Lebanese because I know a Lebanese person that kind of looked white. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I looked it up because I was like, I think Egyptian or something to that effect, because I was like, she looked white. Looked like a white person, but, you know, who knows? You know, and I ain't want to be like, damn, that's a interesting name for a white woman. You know what I'm saying? Because she was very patient at letting me loiter, literally. I ain't bought too much. You know what I'm saying? I did have
something. You could stay.
I bought something. They had some whack-ass tacos. Tacos was terrible. Yeah.
Man, I had that conversation the other day, man. We went to a football game. My partner had some people in on the Airbnb. And they had the game on, you know what I'm saying? They had made, you know, they had some tacos catered, you know what I'm saying? And they had, like, the hard shell. They had different kinds. They had soft shell. They had the shrimp tacos. They had, you know, all the little shits. But then they also had the hard shell with the regular old beef.
And the old school, the hood taco.
The hood taco. I was like, damn, all these taco spots, and nobody got a regular-ass taco. Right. You know what I'm saying? A taco that warms your heart from your past, a nostalgia taco. You know what I'm saying? Everybody got all these fancy-ass tacos, $8 tacos, man. Where is your regular old crispy shell other than Taco Bell? But
they need to do that. I think I might be getting it wrong, but I know there's a crew called Trap Kitchen out in L.A., and I'm not sure if they do the hood tacos, because, you know, California is definitely authentic tacos. Like, I never had an authentic taco until I was in my an adult.
So I don't know what that 20s. Is.
Authentic taco. Like, I grew up on old El Paso tacos, ground beef, you know what I'm saying? Whatever's in the box, the hard shell taco, you know, chop up some, get the little grated cheese, chop up whatever, some onion, you know, regular. Your mom, you know, the kitchen taco.
The throwback.
Now, authentic, the authentic is like corn tortilla, radish, cilantro, you know, like, or flour tortilla, like the soft tortilla, all of that. The flavors, they were just a little too, they were a little too left for me, particularly cilantro. I don't like cilantro.
Yeah, I don't mess with cilantro.
Yeah.
I mean, I do it, but yeah, it throw me off every single time.
Yeah, it took me a minute to adjust to it. I don't mess with the cilantro. I always hold the cilantro, but now I could do a soft shell taco now. But to your point, there should be, there's a as they say, there's a white space in the market, you know what I mean, for a black-ass taco. Just a regular round-the-way-ass taco, regular shit. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Salute to the hood tacos.
No doubt. Yeah, man. So, yeah, we did that, man. Watched the games.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It was cool. Nice, you know, nice get-together. And, you know, I savored my little tacos. But they also had, like, this Airbnb had a video game, like a stand-up, like a arcade-type game.
Mm-hmm.
But in it had like 100 different games. Like you could play all that shit. Oh, Centipede, yeah. Pac-Man, mm-hmm. Ms. Pac-Man, you know what I'm saying, Defender.
Right.
So that was a moment, you know what I'm saying, fellas getting it in on the arcade game. You know what I'm saying, I ain't been around that shit in a minute. Threw me mm-hmm. back to my original days, you know what I'm saying.
Right.
To not having no fucking quarters watching niggas play.
Just off the wing, just watching. Yeah, yeah, just, yeah.
Nigga
yeah,
on the side, no. Good coach. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Shit, good. You know what I'm saying? Nigga gonna set up the next play with the young ladies. You know what I'm saying? I'm that one. I ain't got no bunch of quarters, but shit. By the time y'all finish, it's gonna be straight.
Gonna be right. I got this talk game. You do that. I got this. We'll be all right. Yeah.
It threw me back to that, and I could realize my position and how I be in a social space. You know what I'm saying? I never really thought about that shit like that. You know what I mean? Like in college, because mm-hmm. they was trying to strike up a card game. You know what I'm saying? I think it was like some OGs in there, like 80 years old, but they was like fresh. You know what I'm saying? One of them got, you know what I'm saying, pocket full of dollar bills that he gambled the card games with. It was like, damn, this mm-hmm. nigga a little too serious to be, you know what I'm saying, just out here right. bullshitting. So I ain't want to get in the card game, because I don't never want to get in the card game, because card game is too motherfucking, it's too committal, you know what I'm saying? You got to mm-hmm. commit to that seat. You got to commit yep. to that your partner. You got to right. commit to the shit talking. You got to just deal with all that shit. And me, I like to play the wings so I can figure out what I want to do. I might want to lead this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So that video game took me back to how I even established my social presence of how I move within a social space. And you know what I'm saying? That's some more nostalgia for your ass. I don't know if that made no sense, but that's
what I'm going through right now. It made a lot of sense. I can dig it. Made a whole lot of sense, for sure. For sure, yeah. I never got into the card game, like, specifically, like, in college. I remember freshman year, shout out to Brawley Hall, being in the dorm. You go downstairs in the lounge. The lounge is, like, once you go through the front door, you go straight across the lobby. The lounge is there, big lounge. They probably had some stand-up video games, if I can remember. I know they had, like, a TV. And then they had a big-ass table where people played cards. And the reason that I can't tell you everything that was in that lounge is because I was not fucking with the lounge. Like, it looked dark and gloomy in there, too. Like, it didn't look like what was going on. Like, it was so easy to make the decision to make this right, go in the lounge, sit down with these card-playing motherfuckers, or hit that left and go into the world. And I was right. in the world every time. I to this day, I don't know how to play none of them games. No spades, right. whatever else they got. I wasn't with none of that. And I'm cool. Salute to those brothers that was doing all of that, because they seem to be enjoying themselves. Oh, man,
they are part of the fabric of black culture. You know what I'm saying?
Of course, you got to salute them.
You know what I'm saying? I mm-hmm. got to build my other parts of the quilt, because I'm not going to sit in that chair and just be committed for hours to fussing with these niggas, man.
And that would be the thing. That would be what was so funny is you would come back from a whole night of gallivanting.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And they would be in the same seats.
Right.
But they would be just as excited about life as you was. But it was a disconnect. I was right. Like, nah, I'm cool. Yo, they still there? Get out of here. They still play with them same cards.
Huh? Right. I was good with the gallivant.
Yeah, let me go count these numbers. Right. You know what I mean, see what was good.
Ladies, yeah, I put on my sheet.
Right, you know what I'm right. Oh man, that's too crazy.
See if any stragglers round looking at the card game or something.
Right,
you know what I mean.
Oh shit. Yeah, man, that's crazy, yo. But salute to Denver, man. Salute to everybody that came out to the Denver Comedy Lounge this past weekend. Shout out to my man Ben Kronberg for having me out. Shout out to my man Fonz Hutton. You know Fonz. Mm-hmm. Fonz is a conversationalist. He came through with his wife, you know, and that shit was cool. Got to chop it up with him. He was like, yo, man, I want to meet Muhammad. Like, he, you know what I mean?
Man, he's a fan. Next run.
Yeah, I said soon, one day. Yeah, for sure. He said that him and his wife, they really love, you know, your Game of Thrones breakdown.
If like, they only knew. I use that shit as an analogy for life, nigga. I'm mm-hmm. in the Thrones no, right for now.
Sure. Oh man, yeah, man, yeah, yeah. Nah, they appreciate that. He said he was in the, I want to say he's in the Navy. So when he would go off to, don't get me to start saying the wrong shit, but you know, on the mission or whatever, mm-hmm. when he come back to the port, he would stock up on a bunch of the episodes so he could listen to him when he was out.
Oh, that's about. What's up, man.
You know what I mean? So that, salute.
That's good shit to hear, man. Because you know you be living in the world. And again, ever since we started this podcast, mm-hmm. in my mind, I was like, man, who, what? People gonna do what? Listen to me do what?
Right.
Saying, you want me to do what? Just talk. You know what right. I'm saying? But over the years, you get the feedback and you understand what it means to be an appointment for some people. You know what I'm saying? To be in people's lives, just, you know what I'm saying, through your conversation and not nothing ostentatious or like we, you know, we beating our chest or whatever, we just be having a conversation for real. And to know that there's people that it affects, that listen to this shit every week. There's people that's been with us the whole ride. You know what I'm saying? Even when my mom died, to see that she had listened to every podcast was a trip. You know what I'm saying? Because yeah. I didn't talk to her much, but she listened to me every week. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, which is crazy because she probably knew more about me from doing that than talking to me.
Yeah, ain't that wild?
That's crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah, it's wild. Yeah.
I appreciate that shit, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to everybody that listens. It's an honor. Feels good. Feels good when people show love in the world. Feels good, you know? And I've learned to, like, receive it. You know what I'm saying? Like, take it, you know, because sometimes... If not particularly with the pod, even sometimes with the pod, you know, I used to have that term podcast remorse where you walk away from the mic like, damn, did I say too much? Did I say some stupid shit? You know, it is what it is, the conversation. But I think that what I've gotten over is letting the support be the support and don't process it as expectation mm-hmm. or pressure. You know what I'm saying? Do it. Just if the people come out, the people come out. The people want to see you. The people want to hear you. You know, and embrace the love. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So yeah. But yeah. Salute to Colorado. Colorado was cool. It was warmer than I expected it to be. I was in and out, so I didn't really get to kick it too many places. I felt like. I don't want to say I was out the way because I wasn't really. I just didn't explore. I think the next time, if I go back, I might just rent a car just so mm-hmm. I can kind of drive around or whatever and see a little bit of Denver. Because I've been to Denver like 3 times and I truly couldn't tell you much about it except mm-hmm. that it's in Colorado and there's some mountains off in the distance. But yeah, shit was cool. Shit was cool. I tell you, this was very interesting. I went to the little airport lounge, little sky lounge on the way back, and this is the first time I've ever seen this at the airport. the little Delta Lounge out there. You know, a lot of these lounges that got a little bar and situation. Get you a nice little drink or something before you jump on the flight.
Mm-hmm.
This particular lounge, they had the serve yourself bar. I said, oh, shit. Yeah, they had to serve you just, you know what I mean? Use your own discretion. And it was funny. I had to laugh. Somebody else walked past. He was like, yo, hold on, fam. They got the, wait, it's on us? You know what I mean? But, yeah, so I think they might be watering down those bottles because based on what I poured, I think I should have been a little bit more effective. But it was all good. It was a good time. Salute to Denver. Shout out to the Green Chili. That's one of their things out there. They do a little green chili. I had a green chili on a breakfast burrito. It was a vibe. Tonight, if you're listening to this, and it's still in the daytime, if you're in the Jersey area, I will be at the Stress Factory tonight in New Brunswick. Pull up with your crew. You know what I mean? We're going to have a good time. But, yeah, so you said you was at the Airbnb. You were watching the playoffs?
Yeah, we did that, you know what I'm saying? But I was in New York just before that.
Okay.
So I was in New York, spent some time at the house.
Okay.
Yeah. Sitting in my old spot, reminiscing, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Going through old IP, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And then you got all these hard drives, hundreds of hard drives, trying to figure out where to start, you know what I'm saying? Start pulling up old shit, like, damn, I forgot about that. I forgot, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. You done did a lot of motherfucking shooting, man. Been a lot of places. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of lot of things, you know what I'm saying, that you, when you start going through it, you start to realize that your life was a whole lot more than just what you're doing today. You know what I'm saying? And that, you know, you start adding all those things back into your zeitgeist, you know what I'm saying? You start to really think about why you doing it, you know what I'm saying? And I never set out to be a photographer or videographer. All that stuff was just tools, you know what I'm saying? It was tools to get a nigga from one place to another, you know what I'm saying? Tools to get a nigga in a door, you know what I mean? To meet these kind of people, you know what I mean? And and so, but when you looking back at the work, it was beyond a tool. You know what I'm saying? These were actual experiences. And then you really do get to understand the art of video and photography. You are actually capturing moments that won't happen again. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you play it back, you're like, damn, that was, you know what I mean? It's like certain shit, you're like, I shot an event in this particular year. I could tell the year. I don't even have to look at the dates because the dances would tell you what year it was. You know what I'm saying? I remember the Millie Rock era, man. That shit was everywhere. You know what I'm saying? And there's people that could do that shit fly. You know what I mean? You shoot that shit, nigga, Millie rocking their ass off.
Mm-hmm.
This shit just done disappeared. When the Millie Rock coming back? You know what I mean? Because it's been about, shit, 7, 8, maybe 10 something years. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Might have been. Yeah, that Millie Rock was something. Motherfuckers about to tear their rotator cuff.
Millie Rock was strong, you know what I mean? So, so I spent time, you know what I'm saying, going through that type of stuff, looking at, like, you know, I got all these books of plans, you know what I'm saying, from before I even moved to New York, you know what I'm saying? And I came across one that was like when I first touched down, like my trying to get on, like looking through the plan, like I got to call this person, that person, this one and that one, you know what I mean? And one thing that I recognize from that moment that I don't do now, which when you hungry and you trying to get somewhere, nigga, you meeting everybody. You know what I'm saying? Even throughout my mid-careers, nigga, I got thousands of business cards. I'm like, when did I meet all these people? You know what I'm saying? Right. But then you're looking at them, you're like, oh, shit, that's such, you know what I mean? Like, oh, that was 10 jobs ago for this motherfucker. This motherfucker here rich now. You know what I'm saying?
Word, yeah.
It's like niggas was just, like, I could tell the difference between when I was young trying to come up and some of the young people that come through, like now. It's like, man, y'all ain't serious about this shit because This shit did not stop, nigga. That nigga was writing down every, like, okay, shit, I talked to them. This my next steps right here. I need to follow up. You know what I'm saying? Then I need to call this one, that one. I mean, when you connect all the dots, it's like, damn, man. We did a lot of shit. And it wasn't just because you set out to do a lot of shit. It's just you end up in a lot of shit because you move around, you're doing. And I'm sure people meeting all these people like that too, but now it's like on Instagram and shit like that. But
right.
But I was just like, I need to meet more people. You know what I'm saying? Keep my energy going out there in the world, you know? That was one takeaway, you know what I'm saying? Just from looking at my old shit. Like, man, yeah. Nigga was moving around.
Yeah, those business cards are like bricks in your network. You know what I mean? Like, you just built a whole little network with all of these shits. And to your point, you was like, yeah, this guy, yeah, they rich now. It's like some of these business cards is like collectibles.
Right.
You know? Sometimes if I'm like going through old stuff like that, I might take a photo of the business card and send it to the person. Yeah, just on some throwback shit.
I did some of that too.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's some throwbacks, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
It was cool, man, but it was also like a dossier of all the negative shit you've been through. You know what I'm saying? All of, you know what I'm saying? Bills and, you know what I'm saying, credit denials and, you know what I'm saying, wrong turns and shit you may have encountered along the way, just the struggles, you know what I'm saying? Like the era of the bills, nigga, the bills that you couldn't pay, you know what I'm saying? That shit was a hard era. And I'm just looking at some of this shit and it take you right back to it, like you like teleported right back into it. I'm like, yeah. I got to get rid of this shit, nigga. You know what I'm saying? I got rid of all that shit. I don't need that type of energy around me, man. Word. Hit D behind me.
Absolutely. Gotta declutter your spirit.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, man. Damn.
Oh, man, nah, that's for real. But at least the beauty of it is you made it through. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it might take you right back to some of that feeling. You're like, oh, shit. But the beauty is you on the other side of that shit. You know?
Yeah. And that's the beauty of it, man. But you can't tell. Like, if you allow yourself to get into that shit like that, you can't tell if you there or not. That was the weird part. It's like, damn, I know I ain't there, but damn, I feel that shit like I'm right there. You know what I'm saying?
Hell
so I had to get that shit up out of there. All of it, nigga. Y'all can have it. Only positive vibes. I kept the business cards. I kept all the work. You know what I'm saying? And you know, it's just like when you come face to face with your failures. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times you could push them behind and don't think about them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you come face to face with them motherfuckers, and a lot of times it ain't to drag yourself back in it. It's more like to recognize how far you come, to recognize how strong you actually were. Cause I look at some of that shit and I be like, man, I don't even know how the fuck I operated and you know, walked around with a motherfucking smile, man. And I remember distinctly, nigga, being on Twitter and somebody telling me, you always smiling and stuff, like it's all good. You know what I'm saying? And one of my quotes on Twitter was, shit, I don't smile because it's all good. I smile because I'm good. And looking at all that shit, you know what I'm saying? I was like wondering to myself how I stayed good. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of it had to do with moving around, shaking hands, meeting motherfuckers, showing up in the spot. You know what I'm saying? The ambition and the goddamn, the vision of what is going to be was stronger than the motherfucking shit that was coming at you, you know? So, in going face to face with that shit, I'm also able to recognize, yeah, I am, I can, and I will, you know what I'm saying? It's like a nigga knowing how to fight, you know what I'm saying? Nigga ain't rare about no fights because a nigga know how to fight. And with this life shit, I know how to do that shit. And whatever's coming next, man, I'm ready for that shit. You know what I'm saying? Good, bad, or whatever. I'm marching through this bitch because I got somewhere to go.
that's real. That's real. That's real. That's you know. That's always a good thing to tap into that, to know that, you know, because sometimes you could forget.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sometimes you could forget. Like you said, you were in the midst of it all. You couldn't tell if it was now or then.
Right.
Because of the power of, you know, that I hate the word trauma, but how that shit felt. That shit was real. And you like, oh, hell nah. It's, you could feel that feeling seeping back into your body. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And yeah, like, yeah. Get rid of that shit, but understand you survived it, you know what I mean? And you got what it takes to get through it if you have to do it again.
No
you
doubt.
Know what I mean? And probably, yeah.
No doubt.
Man, yeah, dog. The past is real. The past is real. The past is real. You're right. You know, people always talk about that nostalgia part of the past. It's like the steak. You know what I mean? Like, it's the there's also all of that fatty shit. You know, some of that fat give it some flavor, but some of that shit like that shit just go fuck your jaw up when you're chewing. Spit that out. Put that shit in the trash.
Hey, you know man. Mm-hmm. I had me a good ass steak the other day, boy.
Oh shit, talk about it. Let's speak on it.
This is me, my sister, and B. You know what I'm saying? Okay. It was a wild ass. It was a Friday, and I went to the optometrist because I had to get a new eye test, and so we moving around. Saw David Banner, hollered at him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. While we talking to David Banner, you know my sister hit like, "Yeah, going to get some dinner." You know what I'm saying? What's up? Like, shit, we with it. You know what I'm saying? So she made a reservation. I got a reservation at Little Alley Steakhouse. Now, Little Alley Steakhouse ain't no way you be rushing to go. It's gooder than a motherfucker, but that shit ain't cheap, nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Like, where's it at?
It's in Buckhead. It's across the street from Phipps.
Okay.
And so, went in there. They had, you know, there's, you know, the fried lobster appetizer shit, like little chunks. That was my conch alternative because I really wanted some conch on a Friday because it's, you know, I be having nostalgic Miami Friday in my head, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. The fried lobster, it sufficed. Then, but I ate so much appetizers and shit, I wasn't really prepared for the steak part of the dinner. You know what I'm saying? Because that's how they get you. You know what I'm saying? They have you fuck around with these appetizers and then come back around, take your motherfucking order for dinner. Now you 3-4 appetizers in. You know what I'm saying? So, boom, I ordered the steak. It's the ribeye. It's a dry-aged ribeye. Okay. And I just ate a corner of it at the restaurant. The next day, though. Woke up, you know what I'm saying? Oh, I got that steak. Yeah, for sure. Put it in the oven, warmed it up a little bit. This ain't no microwave joint you got
to put. Yeah, yeah. I was about to ask you about your reheat. Nah, I wanted to hear your reheat process.
Ain't about no microwave, good. Nah.
It'd hurt me if you said I microwave that shit. Go ahead,
nah,
see.
I put that bitch in the oven, man. On broil, you know what I'm saying? Flipped it, you know, couple minutes here. Flipped it a couple minutes, and it was good. And, that shit was better the next day. But it was big. Nice. The steak was big, so I didn't even finish it the second day.
Wow. So then, a 3-day steak.
Yeah, it's a 3-day steak. Sunday came. It was the last piece. But I had done spent most of the day and I ain't ate. I'm like, damn, I'm hungry. I'm like, oh shit, I got more of that steak. Now this time I put the sides with it, I sat it down, made a whole new meal out of that motherfucker. And that motherfucker was so good. Each fucking bite just was flavored. You know what I'm saying? It was still moist. That shit, I was like, man, they did their thing on this motherfucker, man. Now, I would say, though, it was a tough battle, nigga. I had to battle my ego. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, what you talking
about? At the spot, Little Alley.
Okay.
I had to battle my ego. Because, again, we was just on a Friday gallivanting through the city. You know what I'm saying? She had, like, no, nigga got on. I had a nice jacket on, but I had on a hoodie. You know what I'm saying? And then I had on a Scully. So we come in the spot. You know what I'm saying? The security guy, they got the black man security to handle these Atlanta niggas, I suppose. And he wasn't even like no strip club security nigga. He was like a an older gentleman, you know what I'm saying, dressed in a sweater type security. I don't want to try him and fight him, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
He wasn't no big bruiser. He was like, you know what I'm saying, respectable looking gentleman. Like he just came off the Cosby Show or something.
Right. Those be the worst.
Right.
don't try that, man. You know what I'm saying?
So we walk up in the spot. He was like, yeah, no hats, no hoodies.
Right.
Like, damn. What am I going to do with this hoodie? Then he shot me inside. He was like, yo, you could tuck the hoodie inside that jacket right there and keep the jacket on. You'll be good. I was like, all right, nice. Cool. I appreciate that. You know, took my hat off, walked in the spot, go to the bar. The bar kind of crowded. So we kind of like one seat from the corner and then it go around. So it was like two white dudes and one seat in between them. And then they was waiting on another dude to come. Other dude shows up. This nigga got on like a Kango hat. It's like a Fendi Kango. You know what I'm saying? Like the kind Jamara Cray wear, like the square one, not the round one. Like, not the round one like LL. So
like the Sam L.
Yeah. So this nigga got his hat on. He's sitting at the bar. I'm like, well, shit. White boy. I'm like, well, shit. I'm going to put my hat back on. Cause you know, my hair's woofing and shit. You know what I'm saying? I threw my little scully back on. Ain't nothing.
Right.
About 5 minutes in, old Mr. Cosby come back. Tap me. And then he wanted to tap me with a whisper. He was like, yo, you know what I'm saying? You got to take that hat off. I whispered back. I don't know how we got to the whisper because this is what he approached me. So I hit him back. So I was like, yo, what about the white boy right there with the hat on?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He was like, you could wear a Kango, but you can't wear a baseball cap or a scully. I'm like, what? That don't make no sense. But then, you know, I was about to get indignant in a whispered voice. You know what I'm saying? indignant. You know what I'm saying? And then, so I hit him back like, yo, that don't make no sense. And he was like, yo, he's like, I'm going to tell you though, that's the owner. And he the one who hired me. So, you know what I'm saying? But you can't wear Kango. But, right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm like, take my hat off, you know what I'm saying? Right, suck the shit up, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't until the lobster bits came through that I released my ego.
right. Hell yeah. Oh shit.
So you know, you can't take it too seriously out here.
Nah. Yeah, man, can't be mad. Just say, okay, I see what it is. Different rules. But if that's the man and not just, you know,
well,
it was, you know, allegedly.
No, I looked the shit up. Oh. You know what I'm saying? I looked the shit up. I'm right there Googling this nigga. I'm like, owner of Little.
You got the Kango
alley.
On in the LinkedIn photo?
Nah, but I seen him.
Okay.
I seen him. Like, yeah, I respect his establishment. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And next time, I'll just wear me a Kango.
There you go. Yeah. A spike Kango.
You know what I'm saying? See what they say about that.
Exactly. That's funny as shit. Oh man, that's crazy. So that sounds like a good little time.
Yeah, it was a nice Friday. How,
what's
man.
The vibe?
Was a
what's
nice
the
Friday.
What's the vibe in Little Alley Steakhouse? Is it like what's the?
Oh man, it's cool, man. I've been there a few times. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
It's you know, it's the environment is hearty.
Yeah.
As well as the food. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So like real leather on the banquettes, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, you know, like they got a whole wall, right? And it's just all of the whiskeys that they have, like listed. Nice. They're not the prices, but just all of the whiskeys. Like if you like, I want a whiskey, you can look up at the wall and, you know what I'm saying, it'll show you all kinds of shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's a well thought out. I mean, it's a well designed. I mean, it's not one of them. The worst thing I hate about a restaurant, especially when you got to really pay high-end tax on a restaurant, is it feeling hollow. You know what I'm saying? Like, niggas got you sitting in the room and it feel hollow. Like, man, I need some ambiance, my nigga. You need to put something on the wall, nigga, some leather on these seats, something, nigga.
Right. I want to see my money going.
You know what I'm saying? I want to feel like I'm at a place. You know what I'm saying?
Fucking ghost kitchen.
Right.
Yeah.
I know, you know what I mean? So... Nah, it's formidable in that. Okay. It's not overly done like a sexy type of vibe. It's like somebody made a steakhouse. You know what I'm saying? Nice. And it's in a new building, so they thought this shit out and built it in a way that felt like it had patina on it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And so, so it feels like a steakhouse in the middle of a brand new building. It don't feel like a goddamn, you know, breakfast spot or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It feels like wood on the floor and leather on the seats, and you know what I'm saying? Wood on the goddamn bar. It ain't just slapped together. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you go places like that, and they be still trying to do it. Like, nah, man, y'all got to take it all away if you're going to do it. If you're going to charge nigga like you're doing it, man, act like it, you know?
Right. Yeah,
no, it's a nice spot. I ain't going to shit on the spot, you know what I'm saying? And I ain't even going to shit on the rules. It's just that I was taken aback.
When you see the double standard, you know what I mean, right there in front of you, you feel a way. Right. You want to take it to whisper court.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And, you know, it turns out it wasn't theoretically a double standard because he had the right kind of hat, but I guess he made the rules.
right.
Well, they can only wear the type of hat that I like to wear.
Exactly. Yeah. And actually, it should only be me and the Kango. It's only one Kango per night. It is me today.
He didn't give me that rule. He just said you could wear a Kango.
Okay. Yeah. The Kango clause. I like that. The Kango carve out. Oh shit. Now that's what's up, man.
And the crazy part was the nigga didn't have on a Kango. It was shaped like a Kango, but. You know what I'm saying? Old black man Bill Cosby, he, you know what I'm saying? That's how he...
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you can wear a Kango. Okay.
Right. He know what it is. Oh, shit. Old black man Bill.
he like one of Cosby's friends on Hustler's friends. You know what I'm saying?
So
with the nice brown sweater, you know what I mean? With the,
right.
You know,
distinguished.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mean Mr. Huxtable, maybe.
Yeah. He was friends with Mr. Huxtable. You know what I'm saying? Not Mr. Huxtable.
You gotta be careful.
Shit, it is what it is. That's the nigga name.
That's what he did.
He really didn't even get arrested for it. So he beat that.
He's out now.
Yeah, he's out now. But he was in jail. But he wouldn't. Cop the plea, so he took it. But once they appealed and all that shit, he actually beat that shit because they wasn't supposed to even try him for it anyway because it was over and done with.
Right. Yeah, man.
You know.
Anyway,
Robert Kelly, Sean Combs, nigga.
Doing the roll call for the roll problematic roll
tell
call.
Tell me who I can't say.
I'ma say it all, nigga. We playing canceled Tourette's in this bitch. What are you talking about? Oh shit, man. So that was Friday. You said that was all Friday. Speaking of Friday, I went and saw One of Them Days.
I want to see that shit.
Yeah, man. That shit is good. That shit is cool. It's a cool little flick, man. I enjoyed it. I think, and I said this last week, but even still, because I've been watching more now that I've seen the movie, I think that the SZA, Issa Rae, Kiki Palmer press run is as funny, if not funnier, than the movie.
Oh, wow. Like, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, they did a lot of press. They did a whole lot of press, and to good result, because it's doing well. It's doing well. It's already, you know, I want to say doubled the budget or whatever. Like, they did their thing, but the shit is just, they funny. They got great chemistry together. And in the movie, you know, it's definitely has, you know, it's definitely reminiscent of Friday, you know what I mean? Just we got a day to get this bread, you know what I mean? Or it's impending doom, you know, like that's kind of the whole thing. But at the same time, there's some commentary on, you know, just living in the hood and just Black America and, you know, that type of thing. and you know, whether it's gentrification or predatory loans and you know, stuff like that, and community, you know, like it, it's good. Yeah, it's a fun little joint.
You know what I'm saying? Issa's being able to continue to use her voice and and really scoop up the lead, and also scoop up the next generation of like women performers and actors, and you know what I'm saying, and her as a filmmaker to really lead that charge. You know what I'm saying? Taking the reins from like Shonda Rhimes and all them, and continuing to move steadily forward. You know what I mean? It's like the next mogul. Hopefully she don't turn out to be problematic, but you know, probably not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, hopefully not.
Y'all
yeah,
be up here telling me I can't say Issa Rae name.
Ain't that some shit? Now you can't. You know you can't talk about her name.
Who, Issa? Shit. Yeah. That's my nigga.
Sir, we're going to have you leave, please. You can't be in here with the Scully on yelling out Issa. Can't, please. Now you're doing too much. Yeah, nah, it's good. It's good. She definitely setting the table, you know, and then Keke Palmer's also a producer on that. So to see her kind of get use that hat and, you know, leverage her career in the game. And also, like I said before, to still have such a long career and still be like really stepping into your prime. Like to this point, I still don't believe like her potential has fully been realized. Like, people know she's good, and it's getting, it's growing and growing, but like, she's one of them. Right. You know what I mean? She's one of them, and she's coming to her own, and for SZA to make her acting debut in the joint, she did a thing. Like, the shit was good. Like, it was funny.
Keke Palmer, as an actress, you know what I'm saying, minus the body, is like a Angela Bassett in that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit just keep going. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you thought Tina Turner was the peak. It was going to be, you know what I'm saying? And then she just keep going. You know what I mean? And that's just a testament of good work. You know what I'm saying? Good work ethic. Good, you know what I'm saying? Putting your all into the shit. And being able to play the game, which that's the part that nobody knows about. You know what I'm saying? The game part. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the game be like, man, fuck this. I ain't doing this shit no more. You know what I mean?
But
being able to survive the game and thrive in it, you know what I mean? That's a good look, man. That's a good look. Shout out to the ladies.
Yeah, shout out to them. So that was cool. I saw that also. We could talk about these playoffs, but I do want to talk about what you laughing for? You don't want to talk about these playoffs?
No, I'm just saying, as you always will say, I'm just a casual.
Oh, I'm super casual. I seen one game on the flight, and then I came home, caught the other game, the Baltimore, the Buffalo Kansas City game was actually a good game.
Yeah, it was.
The Eagles Commanders game,
man, that shit could have been good, man. That shit was right there being about to be good when they was down 11, marching down the field to score, and lost the ball.
Yeah, because I will say the kid Jaden Daniels, he did his thing,
yeah, man.
And to be a rookie, the level of poise the kid has, he didn't look flustered even as the score got crazy, because a lot of that was beyond his control. You know what I mean? Like, he was doing well, but like as the game got further and further and further away, like, you know, they were paying to him sitting on the sidelines or whatever, and you could tell he was affected, but he didn't look broken. You know what I'm saying? Like,
a rookie, nigga.
No, but that's what I'm saying. But he got that, like, sometimes, you know, if you a rookie, there are some rookies that are like either too deferential to the game or intimidated by the game. He was just like, look, I've been playing football my entire life. This ain't nothing but the NFL.
Right.
We going to do what we came to do, and we're going to get it done. And if we don't get it done, I'm going to take it in stride also.
Man, he had already made history by the time he stepped foot on that field, man.
Yeah,
national. They just like somebody had a thing with him and Dak Prescott, and it's like, you know what I'm saying? This nigga never got there. This nigga got there in 5 months. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? It's like, but man, he etched his way into it. He got new fans. The world is watching. His career is in front of him. You know what I'm saying? And the nigga still like a skinny nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Look at
crazy.
The other quarterbacks, man. Look at, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These niggas is built.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's still in high school or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, or JV.
Yeah, but he out here playing, you know? So
getting to it.
Yeah. He's going to be all right, man. He's going to be all right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But they had it, man. It was right there. That one turnover threw that shit, fucked their whole shit up. Because if they would have scored on that, they would have been right up in there. One point down. But they lost that bitch. 11 down. Boom, they went down. Score is 18 down, nigga. It's fourth quarter already, nigga. It's a problem.
Yeah, that shit was slippery ass slope. It was not letting up. It was a damn shame. But, yeah, I hate when the game just becomes a blowout. It's not that good to watch.
I mean, but it was good for three-quarter scrape.
It was all right. It was all right. It was all right. But when shit started getting nasty, it was just like,
That shit.
Because I guess,
I guess. The score make it look like they was getting blowed the whole time.
It was worse than what it was, and it wasn't.
The score looked like when goddamn Vic torched the Washington Redskins. 59-20 something. But he torched their ass from the gate. You know what I'm saying? It was never close. This shit could have been something. But here we are.
It is what, yeah. Well, let that go. And then, so we seen Mahomes. You know, triumphant again. Yeah. I'm one of the few. I say it. I'm not mad at Mahomes. I'm not going to, you know,
Why would you be mad at Mahomes?
A lot of people are mad because he's a winner.
Everybody always a lot of people mad don't like that's why y'all used to be mad at Jay-Z.
Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? They almost got the same voice. They almost got the same kind of voice. But, yeah, that's the only thing. Mahomes, you know, he got a little Muppet voice or whatever. But I think the kid is greatness and it's prime. You're watching it.
Yeah.
It's going to be good to see Hurts and Saquon go against, you know what I mean, Mahomes and Kelsey. I think it's gonna be a good situation, man. My man chasing that three-peat. You know, it should be cool. But that wasn't what I wanted to talk about. I said we talked about it, I guess.
Well, we talked about it casually. We
casually smooth. That's what we went. People know what to expect when it comes to this. Look, dog, this is not ESPN in the least. But I finally saw Anora. Yes. I finally saw Anora over the weekend.
Tell her two movies. What happened?
Yeah, man. Look, I enjoyed it. I want to know what you felt about it. I think you said it was more, it had a lot to do, or if I'm remembering, or maybe even assuming, I think it had a lot to do with towards the end.
No, the second half.
Talk
from
to
the
me.
Time,
talk to me. Okay.
From the time it got silly. You know what I'm saying? It went from like a movie, like to almost like goddamn Laurel and Hardy or some shit, almost to where
Wild Goose Chase.
Yeah, like when he ran from the house, like that was the moment that the whole movie changed. The dude in the Escalade started to not seem so serious no more. He like a bumbling. It was just like everybody was just bumbling. You know what I'm saying? And I don't remember all the points now, but from the time he ran from the house and with his pajamas on or something, it got silly. You know what I'm saying? And then in the end, the character that we were so invested in the beginning, the young Russian kid, he kind of disappeared the second half of the movie until his parents came and to pick him up, and they had to, you know what I'm saying, go to Vegas to fix the marriage and shit, or annul the marriage. The story kind of got away from it to me. You know what I'm saying? And then in the end, the payoff wasn't a good payoff in my regards. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, shit. All right.
He's like, all right. That's it. Let me go ahead and get up out of this.
Close this up. Throw the rest of this popcorn away. Shit.
Oh, man. I thought it was good. I enjoyed it.
No,
I enjoyed it. So this is what I'm going to say. I think to that point, one, I don't think Vanya, the dude's name, or Ivan Vanya, I don't think that I don't ever think he was really the draw of the movie.
I don't. You know I don't even. Like, I didn't know who the draw was. I didn't know nothing about it. I just went to go see.
I think it was more about homegirl and, you know, him being who he was and being able to change her life. But his whole energy throughout the whole movie was very, like, lazy, like, go with the flow. Like, he was there, but not there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, which is kind of interesting, too, because it's kind of, and not to sound like an old head, but this kind of how I see a lot of, like, young people. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, they, and maybe I was the same way when I was young. You know, when you're young, you just, it's not even distracted, but you just focused on whatever you focused on. You know what I'm saying? And it might just meander. You just in your own world. You know, like he was a spoiled rich kid who was living in his family's crib. And then you got this stripper / sex worker who is, you know, she coming up, you know, like on the margins. It ain't really, you know, she got to hustle. Mm-hmm. She got to make some money, you know. And then they wind up crossing paths. And one thing leads to another. Yo, I'm having a good time with you in the VIP. You want to come to the crib tomorrow? You got some money? Yeah, I got some money. I bet. I'm coming over there. It was very transactional in nature from the door. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, she caught a lick. Then the lick turned into, yo, some share my world type shit. Like, hang out with the people. I'll pay you to be my girlfriend for a week. I bet this how much I want. Babe, I'd have paid you double. But here you go. Boom. She gets caught up in the life. They both get caught up into the life. You know what I'm saying? And enjoying the moment and, you know, a lot of fast fucking. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever. And then it was just like, I guess his nose was wide open, or he just loved the thrill of it all and was just like, yo, why don't we get married? And homegirl was definitely wary. Right. Like,
no, she was.
Don't play with me.
Yeah.
Don't play with me, Pop, because this, nah, don't play. Are you serious? Yeah, man, I'm serious. Are you serious? Yeah, I've asked you multiple times. Let's do this.
Right.
I bet they jump on a flight, go to the motherfucking joint, they get married, right? Now, this is the thing. We all know that this shit is doomed. I mean, we all know it's doomed, but it's just, there's a part of you that's like, all right, bet, okay. I understand homegirl, like, you know, planting her heels in this shit. Like, when the people come to repossess her new lifestyle, basically, she ain't having it, right? She not having it. And I understand. I guess I could see the fact of how you could feel like it got a little silly. But I think my dude was always very silly. And that was what kind of carried all the way through.
I understood. I understood that he was silly. But the movie itself wasn't silly. You know what I'm saying?
But see, I don't.
This is just me. I got you. I already said what I said.
Yeah, so he runs off. He's immature. Like I said, he's a spoiled kid. He's immature. He's playing with his parents' money. He don't even really understand what he has. You know what I'm saying? Like, he don't even understand how transformative what he is doing to this woman is, probably, right? So he sold this girl a dream, and she was like, are you sure? Sure, I got you, blah, blah, blah. Boom, now it's reported back to the people. The people are coming into town. She tight. She's like, get these motherfuckers out my house. You know what I mean? Because she feeling like she's a 50-50 stakeholder at this point. She's married. They got the receipt. They got the documents. Nah, it ain't even that. You know what I'm saying? So he dip off without her. He like, yo, come on. She's like, look, I got to let me get dressed. You know what I'm saying? Which is funny. You out, you know, for a moment of modesty, but like, yeah, let me get dressed.
Maybe it's snowing outside, man.
Yeah, but I'm out, ma. He out in the flip-flop, maybe a barefoot. I don't know. He doing too much. He's gone. Now, yeah, it got a little, I could see, there's moments where it could have felt a little Home Alone-ish. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Where it was just like,
yeah, exactly. The serious nigga from the church turned into a bumbling idiot by the end of the movie.
Right, right. Yeah. But what got me, because if I think about it, there were some moments where it was just like, all right. But what got me was like, I started to really feel for Shorty because I understand she told us, Cat, are you serious? Like, she been, like, ain't no parts of her not been serious throughout this whole shit. And the thing is, it just showed the disparity between the two of them. Like, one was forced to grow up fast and one hasn't grown up at all. You know what I'm saying? One has somebody that's going to, like, just, you know, just mop it all up. You know what I mean? There's no accountability. Mm-hmm. And it was the moment when, like, you know, it was sad because she was thinking, like, you know, yeah, I'm married or whatever, and the moms is going to, the parents are going to, they respect me or whatever, but they see her as a prostitute. I mean, understandable. She trying to endear herself. They looking at her like shit on a shoe. Like, what are you, like, come on. We about to erase your whole situation. Right. Then it was the moment where she tried to stand her ground and say, yo, I'll sue. And she hit her with some real, you know, look, I'll erase your whole life. Your whole family tree will be gone. Don't not fuck with me. Look, get on this flight or it's over. But you could tell, like, she was sick.
Yeah.
She was mad because homie was not holding her down. She was out there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She's like, you know, your son is an asshole, this, that, and the other thing. And then what made it so bad was, like, when she finally, like, because it was like, it was hard to get through to him because he half drunk. And he not really even, he don't see the gravity of the situation. It's still kind of fun and games for him. But then he know what his parents say is the law. Mm-hmm. So when she's like, yo, so I'm saying, you really going to sign these? He was like, are you stupid? Of course. And I was like, oh, that shit, I felt that. This shit was fucked up. So then, boom, you know. And then the end was a little pat. It was a little romantic comedy. It went from, oh, yo, I thought you was going to rape me type flirting. You know what I'm saying? To like, yo, here's the ring. And then they jumping off in the car. And then she starts crying and shit at the end. And he's consoling her. And it just goes off. And I was like, all right. You know? Yeah, all right. But it had some soul to it. It had some substance to it, as you say about that steakhouse. It didn't feel like a hollow ass.
No, it was on its way to being a good little indie type of, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, feeling mm-hmm. type of movie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It just fell flat to me. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. After, you know, certain things gotcha. Went a certain way. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so that's a little Home Alone-ish, as you would say.
Yeah,
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
But you know, maybe I'm just too serious.
No, man. That's funny as shit. Oh man.
But yeah, that's bad. I'm gonna check out The Brutalist though this week.
Okay, man. That shit about 3 and some change.
Yeah, boy. But I'm interested. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm...
Cause you like that brutalist shit. You like that brutalist architecture,
I like
right?
architecture. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, all right. I might. I don't know. Anytime I hear movies 3 hours long, that shit... It's hard for me to really just say fuck it. But maybe. Let me know. Yeah, you know what? If you do that shit, I watch that shit this week. Let's talk about it next week.
All right. Hello?
Yeah, I was going to say. I was trying to play it off. I forgot you could hear me
in the goddamn AirPods.
Yeah.
I muted it, so you know what I'm saying? It wouldn't be on the thing.
Okay. I hear you on the AirPods. But yeah, we can just clip it. We'll just do it like this. Hold us up. Let me do that. All right, bet. But look, I bet, you know what? If you watch The Brutalist, I watch The Brutalist. We'll talk about that shit next week.
All right.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. Yeah. All right, bet. You fucking with anything else? You watching anything else?
I'm going to check out that movie you just saw, Issa Rae now. And then I said a couple movies last week. I can't remember what they were now, but I think I'm going to catch up on everything this week. And I'll text you along the way. So,
all right, bet. That's what it is. That's what's up, man. I started watching Landman. It's been interesting. It's actually interesting. I'm probably 3 episodes in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just a just white guys being white guys. You know what I'm saying? It's cool. Like, it's good though. Billy Bob Thornton, John Hamm, you know, some oil. You know, Billy Bob Thornton is like manages like this, like these oil sites in Texas, and John Hamm is the OG boss from, you know, who's just, it's got, he's bankrolling everything. He's the Dundada. He's in a whole nother area. He's picking up the phone, get calling the plays, whatever. And Billy Bob is putting out all fires of all sorts, and they show him and his family and all of that. It's very, you know, the guy Taylor Sheridan, who is the producer, who they are calling, I want to say, the anti-woke producer, TV producer, the anti-woke king of TV.
That which sounds is like MAGA. Fucking,
it is. It's like, it's MAGA adjacent for sure. It's MAGA, but it's not like... I ain't heard nobody, this black people, nobody been called a nigga, no shit like that. There's representation, but it's anti-woke in the ways that it's heavy-handed. There's moments where it's like, where a guy might be like, that's offensive. And he's like, well, what's offensive about it? And then he breaks it down. Like, there's a moment where, and it's like silly shit. Like, he's like, I'll get the lady a drink. And she's like, I don't like when you call me a lady. And he's like, well, maybe I just assumed, you know, like it's, you could tell that they getting their shit off a little bit. It's damn near a Michelob Ultra commercial because all he do is drink Michelobes and they put in the logo all in the camera. They've name dropped it like at least, there's only three episodes I've watched. They've said the Michelob at least 7 times. You know what I mean? It's just like an advertorial. You know what I mean? So there's that. Demi Moore is in it. It's interesting. It's interesting. It's not, it's like Taylor Sheridan reminds me, and I was having this conversation with Lambert, but it reminds me of like Peter, like Friday Night Lights type of, you know, like not middle of America, but you're like I said, just, you know, Friday night football and, you know what I'm saying, small town, you know, oil, just blue collar type shit, you know what I'm saying? And it's, there's a black dude, at least one black dude so far in there, and he's holding it down. There was like a whole Mexican contingent, like some people that worked, you know what I mean? So there's like a good presence of Mexicans. So there's like some diversity, you know what I mean? Like, it could be a little heavy handed, but it's cool storytelling. At least 3 episodes in so far. It's kind of cool. So I've been hearing a lot of people talking about it. And I'm definitely a John Hamm fan. And then, this was good for Billy Bob Thornton because I forgot, like, you know what he kind of brings to the screen. You know what I'm saying? He has his own, like, his own charm. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, shit, look at Billy Bob Thornton doing Billy Bob Thornton. You know what I'm saying? So that's cool. And, yeah, that's that. Burr, that's that, burr, dog. Burr.
Yeah. Ain't nobody looking for Billy Bob. I'm just fucking with you.
Damn. Killed Billy Bob.
I fell out with Billy Bob at the Monsters Ball.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Made me feel shit. Good, daddy. Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
That ain't nothing but that. I mean, look, when you want him to turn it down, you want him to say, hey.
Look, who wrote this bullshit?
He said, look, I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll be there on Monday. Yeah, it was a lot. That was a lot. That was such a funny, that was a funny moment, man. Yeah, that was a funny moment.
Oh, I think I turned that movie off. I'm like, oh, you the fuck is some bullshit.
I forgot. Yeah, it was a little much. It's like, get out of here with that shit. I couldn't be mad at Billy Bob.
He was just the, you know what I'm saying? He was the target of my ire. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
He ain't writing shit. But, you know.
Right.
Then that shit went on to win an Oscar for Halle Berry.
That what's going on. That's what she caught the Oscar. Shout out to Halle. Yeah,
shout out to Halle. Yeah. She had to do her work, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You got anything else you want to talk about before you get up out of here?
I'm just happy to be here. Oh,
There it is. There it is, man. Same here. Always happy to have y'all listen, especially y'all at the end of it, right here. You know what I mean? And listen all the way through. I appreciate it as always. Always appreciate it that y'all, you know, you tune in and we talk our shit. Let me say this again. Tonight, if you're listening to this on drop day, on the Wednesday, I am in New Brunswick at the Stress Factory. So check that out. But if not, I got some more dates coming up, man. I am in, where am I? I'm in Connecticut, February 7th and 8th. Oh, let me get my dates over here. Let me open this laptop so I get you the real information. Pardon, y'all. Take a second. Here we go. Do. Okay, bet. All right, bet. So tonight, Stress Factory, New Brunswick, February 7th and 8th. I'm at River in Weathersfield, Connecticut. March 28th and the 29th. I'm at Brokerage in Belmore, New York. June 26th through the 28th. I'm at the Comedy Vault in the Chicago area, Batavia, Illinois. I got some other things coming soon, so they will be announced sooner than later. But for the moment, all of those shows and the tickets for all of those shows can be bought at www.damianlemon.com. I hope to see you in the building. You know what I mean? Have a laugh, you know? And shit. Until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
To get in the conversation. We're gone.